Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful, here with a name you know, the legend, Lou Fisto. How you doing?
I'm pretty good, actually. I'm good. Considering everything, it's been a couple of interesting days, let's say.
It has been. I mean, we'll jump right into it.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people who took note of a tweet that went viral. Over 600,000 views as I look at it now, with a cute little Willy Wonka gif on it. It says, "It's cute how people blame booking for a bad women's division. Talent with too much power, talent denigrating each other, talent trash-talking potential employees, so they never get in as soon as they walk in. It starts here." And you signed it, "The one you call an effing French Canadian asshole." So to sort of highlight what little I know about this, people had asked me on a recent Q&A show, "Had you heard anything like this?" And I said, "Yes, but I don't know the who's. I don't know, you know, necessarily where, how, anything like that." And you are open to speaking about it. And I think the world is very interested in what you have to say about it.
I actually don't know where to start, but I can say it's really something that's been bothering me for a while. It's been over a year that I had that dark match at AEW. And there's so many things that happened that night and things that I've heard from other women that are working there that had like tryouts there, worked as extras, as well as men who are currently employed. And of course, I know people want names and everything, but I'm willing to give the names of people involved in my story. But of course, if anybody did confide in me in something, I can share the story. But out of respect, I'm not going to share the name of someone who doesn't want to lose the job or is looking for a job. So that's for sure that if they trusted me enough to say, "Hey, you can tell it, but not the name," I'm not going to do it. Where to start? So I guess I'll go with my story of how I got there. And it might be pretty long, but then after I guess we can discuss and if you have questions along the way, because it's a long story. And so WrestleCon in Dallas, QT Marshall is sitting right in front of me. And I did send him some messages on Twitter before. And one of his questions was like, "Oh, do you have a visa to come for, you know, the extras, the dark or whatever?" And I did not at this moment. So he's sitting in front of me. It's like, I'm going to sit up and actually go say hi and in person, just not like a Twitter. And that's where he tells me, "It's funny that you come to see me. I was thinking about you. We're looking for a female coach. Is that something that would be interesting for you?" I'm like, "Absolutely. As much as I do love wrestling, one of the things I love the most is actually being," they use the word coach, but I I'm more of a, I would say, an agent. I love sitting down with, you know, the young generation, the girls or whatever, even people of my experience. I just love setting up matches, making sure that everything is established. You know, the heel, the face, the psychology of it. What's the story you want to tell and where you're going to go after? That's really one of the things I love the most. So, of course, I got, you know, I was really excited. And he's like, would you be willing to move? I'm like, if there's a good salary, of course. I mean, I don't want to move for nothing. I just got a home. Like, I bought my first house. And then he goes like, can you be in Boston this Wednesday? And that's like the Saturday. And I'm like, oh, my job. But I just said like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I didn't even think about it. It's like, I'll figure out the rest. So he's like, okay, you should get an email about it. Okay. So I go sit down to my table. Right away, I get an email saying, hey, Wednesday, this place, Boston. And then I see like, you need blood tests. And I'm like, there's no ways in 2 days that I can have blood tests that quick. I mean, there's places like where I could go in Quebec where, but I mean, I'm going to be home Monday. And then the Tuesday, since Boston is like about 8-9 hours from where I live, I need to go the day before because the call time's at 1. Mm-hmm. So I go see him and I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't get that quick. And he's like, let me think about it. So I get another email, never mind the blood test, just show up. I'm like, oh, nice. And then I see COVID test. And they want like the big one. They don't want like the rapid test. I was like, oh, that's the same problem. Like, it's easy to get a quick one, sure. But those like performed by, you know, the CRP or PCR. I don't know, like the, yeah, yeah, the, this one, it's like, this one's really hard to get, especially in Canada. It was really hard at that moment. So I goes like, hey, I can't, sorry. Get another email. Never mind the COVID test. Just show up, be there. I want, blah, blah, blah. Bring your gear. And the whole thing is to meet with Tony. If anything, I'm going to wrestle, but the really, I'm going there for a coaching job.
Yeah.
So, you know, do my bookings in Dallas, go home, pack, jump in my car. So I get there and I park right next to the venue. I go in, I meet Sean Dean, really nice, blah, blah, blah. They give me my pass. And then they're like, okay, the extras are going to change. It was like in the shower where the women were.
Yeah.
So I just sit around and I'm waiting because I really want to meet Tony. That's the thing. Like, okay, the match is cool, but I want to meet Tony because that coaching job. And I see the first person I see is Bunny. And I say, hey, hi. And she looks at me. She's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, well, I'm hoping to get something. Like, yeah. She goes away and she comes back a little bit later. She asks me the same question. And I'm like, I hope to have a coaching job. So I'm waiting. It's a little chaotic. People are running around. I don't really know what's going. I go in the ladies' locker room and silence. And there's Ruby, Bunny, and Tony sitting together on one side. They look at me, no words. I'm like, it feels really weird. But then I see Mercedes, Martinez, happy to see me. Jade's doing her thing with I can't remember who. The rookies, what I would say young girls or young lions and the Japanese are, they're everything, everybody's separated. It's, and then they're like, I get the same question. What are you doing here? I got called to be an extra and meet with Tony. And from there, it's just like, I don't know. It doesn't feel good right away. I see QT. I'm like, when am I going to meet him? Whatever. He's like, oh, I don't know. He's busy. Walk around, mingle, blah, blah, blah. So I walk around, I'm watching Brian Danielson teaching Jade. I got one wrestler, a newish wrestler, I would say AEW. She comes to see me. It's like, oh my God, you're here. I want to wrestle. Are you staying? And I'm like, I don't know. She's like, I'm going to go ask the agents for you to wrestle me. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Then another one comes to see me. She's like, "Oh my God, you're here. Please tell me you're here to stay." I'm like, "Wow, is it that bad?" She's like, "I'm in a like we need you." Then I'm starting to kind of put things together. Thunder Rosa's sitting on one side. Nobody's talking to her. There's one guy goes talk to her. I don't know if it was an agent. I couldn't really see from afar. But it's like everybody's like in their own little thing. And it just, I don't know. It's kind of weird. But I'm not used to this environment. That's probably what it is. I'm waiting, no Tony, nothing. And I go backstage and I walk around, I meet Christian, very nice. I go and I talk to Mark Henry, talks to me about the fact that he was in Canada when he was training for powerlifting, and that's really cool. I meet Dustin Runnels. And he's talking to me about all kinds of things, asked me where I trained or whatever. And he's talking to me about his daughter who's been married, and it's really tough for a father, to see that. And by this time, it's like really late. It's like almost like 5 o'clock. So I go see Mercedes. It's like, do we know what we're doing, or do we, what's going on? She's like, we always know at the last minute. So time goes by, whatever, whatever. And then I see the card. And actually, the first wrestler who said she wanted to wrestle me comes like, they won't let me. I'm like, oh, that sucks. Because I really like her. And then I see I end up in that six woman. And they keep cutting her time too. Because I see people go complaining everywhere because they're not on the card. They came to Boston for some reason, they're not wrestling. It's really chaotic. Something's going on with I hear something about CM Punk, but I was like, I just saw him at catering. He was doing really nice. He was actually really nice to me, so I don't know. It's really like it feels like a high school not a high school gym, but like everybody's like separate. There's no unity for some reason. And so they tell me I'm going to have an entrance. And I thought as an extra, I would not. So I run to my car, get my jacket. I go back in and I go to the restroom. As I want to open up the door, I hear blah, she something, something. I'm like, and I open the door, and on the table, Ruby Soho is sitting with Dustin Runnels, and they just shut up. Like, and they look at me.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step by step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm like, okay. They were talking about me, that's for sure. Because they're like, and then she's like, I gotta go. And I go back to Dustin because that's the last person I talked to. And that's where he goes, so all French Canadian people are fucking assholes, eh? And I'm like, excuse me, what? And then I'm like, what the? He was nice to me like 5 minutes ago. He's like, yeah, apparently that's the way it goes. So I'm like, I had a very bad relationship with Jacques Peruggio. He was like really, I can say even abusive to me, calling me to tell me I was fat, to lose weight, whatever. So I'm like, oh, maybe like he had a bad experience with Jacques too. And he's like looking at me like differently. And the funny thing is Player Uno walks by and he goes, hey, Uno, that's true. The French Canadians are fucking assholes, right? And Uno's like, I'm French Canadian. He's like, oh, okay. So they talk a little bit and I'm there, but I just leave. And I'm like, what the fuck? That just happened. And I love Dustin Runnels. I even like wrote him messages thanking him for being on, you know, online and that keep stepping thing, because it was very inspiring. And I'm like, what the fuck just happened? And then, like, I'm going in my head, what the hell? So I got to get ready for my match now and I have to wrestle her. So I get ready. I'm with them. And one thing I notice is that Sky Blue is not saying a word. They tell her what to do. Anna Jay says, like, oh, I could do this or whatever. But they ask them, like, oh, it will be your turn there. And I don't want to talk too much, like, to put my input, because I realize that I'm the only one that's not signed in that freaking match. Why the hell am I there? At this point, I don't know.
Yeah, for those that don't know, it was Anna Jay, Ruby, Soho, and Sky Blue against Lufisto, Emi Sakura, and The Bunny.
Yeah. So they tell me I'm going to start with Sky Blue. It's like, what do you want to do? What are your moves? And she's like, I'm like, what do you want to do? And it's like, I'm like, either she's like bland as a person or she's not allowed to talk. But it's like, it was really like, I don't know if she didn't understand why I was asking her stuff, but it's just weird. I'm like, what do you want to do? And so we do this. And then Ruby pretty much sets up the whole thing with Bunny. Emmy's just following. And she, at one point I'm doing a clothesline. I was like, I should probably go for a pin there. She's like, no, don't do a pin. I'm like, okay, just tag Amy. I'm like, oh, cool. And the finish will be, we're going to do something. And then Anna Jay is going to go bip you guys on the apron. And then I'm going to come get you for the finish. 1, 2, 3. And then I'm like, okay, that's fine. So do I go down? I stay up. He's like, no, just stay there. The finish is coming. I was like, okay. So we go through the match. It is what it is. It's not like a 5-star match, but I think for the 4 minutes we had, it was what it is. So when we get to the finish, Anna Jay hits all of us. I stay there and I wait and nothing's happening. And they keep going. They do something else on the other corner. And I'm like, what the? Okay. But I'm waiting. They told me to stay. I'm like, waiting. Go back in, finish 1, 2, 3. We go backstage and they all like, they keep going and Dustin's right there. And he's like, what'd you do? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, you made all those girls that are signed when you're not look really, really bad. It was terrible. I'm like, okay, details? And he's like, you should have bumped on everything they did. And then I'm like, but everything they planned was for me to sell to the next one, for the other girl to sell to the tag, for me to give a clothesline and tag out and only tag back in. Like I had 40 seconds in there. So I'm like, sir, can you please give me like details of what I should have done better so I don't repeat it? He's like, well, when Anna Jay bipped you on the apron, you should have fall outside. And now I'm like, okay. Thank you, sir. I see. And of course, everybody else left. Nobody's there when he's giving me those criticism. Billy Gunn's nearby, and I look around and I'm like, can someone else tell me that I suck this bad? I need another opinion. He was looking at me going like, oh. Like I was disgusting. And now I'm like, they told me to stay on the fucking apron. And now I'm like, And the thing that I was thinking about is there's a few girls that told me that they had like matches with Britt Baker or whatever, where they would go in the ring and they would change the match completely. Or if the girl forgot something, she would go, where are we? Silence. And of course the match would look bad. They would never be called again. And so I was like, and they got stiffed as well. So I was like, they didn't want to stiff me, but they make sure, like, to at least an agent, I looked like a fucking idiot. So I even went around and asked some guys, like, did you watch the match? Did you watch the match? One of them told me, I did not, but I will. So I change. I'm waiting. I'm still, you know, there's still Tony. Okay, the match, forget about it. You're here for coaching. And I go to a wrestler I've known for a few years, and he's like, so how was it? I'm like, well, it was short. He's like, yeah, they don't really watch their matches here. He's like, I've been doing Chris Benoit moves for the past months and don't even know. I'm like, wow. Okay. He's like, yeah, they don't care. So I was like, where's the structure? He's like, eh. Pretty much do what we want here. And I'm not saying that in a good way. I'm like, okay. So I just sit down and I watch the show and I wait. And I see Sammy Guevara with his girlfriend. They go, actually, they were doing that before the show, going back in the car outside, coming back in. Bucks running. It's like, again, chaotic. And there's literally people sitting at one point and they talk shit to each other. I'm like, I'm with fucking children.
Do you mean like confrontational or like playful?
No, like somebody's talking shit on one side, the other guy's talking shit, but they don't talk shit to each other.
Oh,
they talk
okay.
about each other.
So you're so witnessing like, the two sides
yeah,
of people
like,
talking about
and
each
I'm
other.
Like, do I, at this point, with everything that happened, is like, do I really want to be here? And I'm like, man, I would be good at as a coach. Like, I know I'm good at that, but I'm like, ugh. And it's of course I don't meet Tony. I don't see my opponents. They completely vanished.
What were you told anything about why you didn't meet Tony that night?
Oh, apparently he was busy or something. A few days after, I'm like trying. I email QT trying to see what's going on and what and, you know. Can I have comments? The wrestler that told me that would watch the match actually, you know, wrote and he's like, the match was okay. It wasn't like something great, but I think it went well. And now I'm thinking, well, apparently I was the absolute shit and I don't know what I'm doing and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I don't know why you didn't, you know, pin after the clothesline. I was like, I was told not to. And then I just literally told him, I'm like, sorry, not that I want to throw somebody else on under the bus, but I didn't want to talk too much because I knew I was not signed at all. And the other girls were, and he's like, yeah, I understand that. But it wasn't you. It's like, you didn't have the opportunity to show what you can do. I was like, eh. And I'm like, do you think the finish looked bad? Cause I was standing there. He's like, no, it's, if I want to be nitpicky, maybe, but it's like not bad. So I'm like, okay, then why the hell? After that, I'm really having trouble getting paid. The show was in April. I was able to get it by in August. July, and that's after I asked Dean, I asked QT, and then another woman, and they're like, "Oh, we send it by mail," but there's a thing about the Canadian address, and I'm like, And I look at my W-9, everything is okay. And I'm like, by the way, why the hell nobody asked me about my work visa? Like, I have a work visa and nobody asked me about it. I'm like, whatever. And then I give them my PayPal. And then they, oh, we sent it and it's not working. I'm like, well, another promoter just sent me money and it's working. So the lady was kind of upset, but finally I kind of got it. And after that, I tried to reach out to QT, never answered me. I tried to reach out to Dean, never answered me. When they came to Canada, I was like, let's try this. I just sent a message like, hey, I'd like to be an extra in Canada. Completely ghosted me, whether it's phone or Twitter or email, nothing. Like, I don't, like, not even worth an answer or no or nothing. And, yeah, so that was it. So it's a very long story to explain how it went for me. But the thing, what really got me mad about the thing with the booking, yeah, there's no structure. The booking is like all over the place. I'm like, I don't know how to explain that. I just telling my story right now, it's like,
yeah, of course,
because I'm so upset that I went there and I spent my money and everything for this, and I'm like, you should have known better, especially, like, I don't know, with especially with Ruby. When I was backstage at WWE at WrestleMania, because I had tickets from Pat Patterson, and Conrad Seaman was right there, and Kimberly was working there, and Andrea, and we were all sitting together because they came to see me, and so was she. So Conrad Seaman comes and sits with us, and is like, oh, I went to see the women's shows, and I mean, Queen of Combat, that was the shit. We went to see Shimmer. We pretty much got what we wanted there. I'm like, the rest was like, ah, whatever. So Kimberly and Andrea are looking at the floor, and she's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I know, I know. So I was like, what the? You're shitting on fucking Shimmer. I was like, so from that moment on, like, I've always had that problem with her, and I'm like, how the fuck can you throw them under the bus just to fuck, what, kiss ass? And the funny thing, after he looks at me, he's like, oh, who are you, what's your name? I was like, hi sir, I'm Jen, nice to meet you. And he kind of figured out I was on that show, and he's like, well, I gotta go. Yeah, I gotta go too. And she left. So, I mean, right away there was that thing, but I don't know if she ever thought I was going to talk about it. And yeah, and after, she gets booked at IWS in Montreal, and they want to book her against me. And I'm like, all right, let's see this. 2 days before the announcer match, IWS is like freaking out. It's like, oh my God, we've got to change everything. We're sorry. It's something with AEW. It involves like five people, blah, 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 on the card. We got to redo the card. And I'm like, okay, it's going to be Ruby because of me and all the other girls, which makes five of us, are the reason why everything's fucked up. And of course, that's what it is. They didn't want to tell me. But we're really like, she shows up and it's like, hi, how are you? Gives me a big hug. It's so nice to see you. I'm like, motherfucker. After everything, and now, like, you think I don't know? I've seen this fucking behavior forever. And I mean, I'm telling my story and my experience just for people to understand that there's that fucking, the reason why this freaking division doesn't work is the gatekeeping of it. It's not going to get any better as long as somebody doesn't stand up, because everybody's afraid to talk. Everybody doesn't want to say what I'm saying right now. I myself, even I'm like struggling right now, But somebody has to say it. Unfortunately, it's the 43-year-old, old lady that's doing it because nobody, here's the thing in wrestling, everybody's so afraid to lose their freaking jobs that they don't say anything and they accept things that should not be. That somebody has a tryout and you make sure that they look bad. And I'm not even, talking about myself because I didn't look that bad. I was told to following discussions and whatever the thing planned that happened. But some girls like asking for guidance and made sure that they look bad so they don't come back because there's a genuine interest in them. And the girls fighting within each other. I hear it all the time. My ship has sailed, and I'm aware of that. One thing though is I love wrestling with all my heart. So if somebody wants to go out there and say I'm bitter, I'm just gonna say fuck you. I go out there every weekend. I love what I do. I've been to court to defend women's wrestling. And the thing that I do not accept, and that's what's going on at AEW right now. Women are shitting on women when we should be like helping each other and lift each other up. And I'm sorry, if you're not good enough to be out there and prove that you can go, that you have to go through politics and people and people you're with and whatever, you don't belong in the sport. Like right now, it's filled with people who use wrestling to be to kind of like have that fame. And the ones that really fought hard for women to be seen as athlete, that we work together, that we one of the problem, men are in charge of the women's division. Honestly, I'll be very honest. No, they don't care. They don't care. They will put their freaking friends in spots before the women. And if you stay up there because you're good in your comfort zone, it's not going to change. You need to stand up still today in 2023. You need to stand up. You need to speak your mind. Do it politely. But you can't have people running the whole thing with their friends, with their clique, and expecting women's wrestling to change. So, and people give it time. And so it matters because it's not going to change if you don't have people who are passionate about what women wrestling should be, when it's just the people that are out there are people who want to be there, who have a certain power, and it doesn't go with what is the best product you could put up front and with who. And honestly, when you look at the talent that they have in and out of the ring, you have Jerry Lynn, you have Christopher Daniels, Chris Hero just got in. You got people like Sarah Stock, you got the women, Layla Hirsch, Chris Statlander, I mean Jamie Ader. There's so much talent, so much talent. Why is it not working? Well, it's not a question of booking because if a wrestler is good, is passionate, he's gonna make fucking chicken salad out of chicken shit. I always think about Dusty Rhodes and the polka dots. He made that thing work. Mizdow, it could have been terrible, but he got himself over doing, embracing it, working, being an awesome worker, being good working with everybody, not telling them what to do. You work with weaknesses, you work with strength, you work together. You, as a veteran, don't go, oh, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, because that's the way it works here. I know I'm going back and forth between so many things right now, but I think it shows like how chaotic that is. There's so many little problems that are not necessarily like, yes, it's booking related. Yes, it's someone that don't put their fucking pants on and say, you are talent. Please give me your ideas. I want to work with you, but don't tell me what to do. I'm the boss and I pay you. And I mean, if something you don't want to do, you're not comfortable, please never push your talent to do something they're not comfortable in doing wrestling someone they don't want to. They don't. That's creating more problems and injuries, and you're not going to have a good product in the end on TV. You want things to work. And if it means that, hey, this person, you know, creates problem, fire them. You have, what, 60 women out there who really wants to go up front, really wants to be on top, really wants to give you good matches. You're not using them because you got that core that wants to stay there and will do everything they want to stay there.
So if, like, for example, if Dustin sees this, reaches out, if Ruby sees this, reaches out, would you be open to having a conversation with them, making amends, anything of that nature?
Like I said, I've always loved Dustin Runnels since Goldust. the first, like, Goldust, like, it was 93-94, the feud with Razor Ramon. It was still one of my favorites. I loved how it was such a strange character, but my God, like, he took this weird character and made it bigger than, you know, everything. Like, he was like, I don't know, like, I don't even know how to describe it, because he kind of out of this world. Like, when you look at a wrestler, you either want to be angry, in love, you know, like, weirded out, or amazed. Wrestling's about emotions. And with him, like, everything, yeah, was bigger. And anyway, so, yeah, like, so many times I wanted to reach out to him, especially, like, he would write things like, oh, be kind to people, and you don't know what they're going through. And I'm like, I don't know how many times I wanted to reply on Twitter, I really wish you would have showed me the same kindness, because with everything you're saying, I believe in too. And I'm not perfect, and I did things wrong in my past, and I will do again. And we all make mistakes. And I know when this goes out, it's like, oh, Lufisto, you did this, you did that. I know, I'm human, whatever. But I don't think I deserve to be called a fucking French Canadian asshole. And I don't think
I was going to say, you are a French Canadian. You should be called French Canadian,
but we're nice people. Well, Chuck Russo's an asshole, but that's another story.
to be fair, multiple times French Canadians have approached me and said, "Hey, Sean Ross Sapp, you fucking guy." And I'm like, oh, well, I know where you're from.
Because if we translate in French, we always, as weird as it sounds, when we're happy, we swear.
Yeah.
We swear when we're happy, and we swear when we're absolutely mad. So, but I mean, yeah.
So again, interpersonally speaking, I've had very limited experiences with Ruby. None bad. Obviously, we don't work together. I've reported on her career. You had competed against her in the past. Like, you all had worked together years ago. Mm-hmm. I know that was the case before she went to WWE.
Yeah. Yeah, and the first time, I mean, it went really well. The second time, like, both matches were, I think, really good, because we had, like, only good comments. The promoter was really happy. The crowd was into it. The second one, my nose got broken, and she already had a shoulder injury. And I heard people say, like, oh, you hurt her in that match. And I'm like, wait a second, she was hurt before. And I even asked her, do you want anything else than the burning hammer? And she's like, it's already real bad, so it doesn't matter, it can't be worse. I was like, okay. And with the nose, it was a hit that came real quick. It happens. Like, it broke my nose. And I know the only thing I said is, after this hit, my nose was completely messed up. There's nothing I could do with it. I was always able to, like, kind of replace it myself, but that was past that. And it's not because she messed up my nose. It's because it's been broken so many times that then it was like, it was over. But yeah, it's like, why would she say I injured her when everything was fine before? And then I saw her after, it was fine. And then when I got to the WWE, and the Shimmer comment happened with Conrad Seaman, and I was like, What? And then I open the door in that conversation, and then that finish, it's like, I was nervous. Like I'm sure I have my faults in there. But one thing, I know I remembered the match. I did not have anything where I didn't know what was next or whatever. But I don't know. It's something I've always like I said, I've been thinking about forever, but I didn't want to get into drama. I didn't want to get into argument. And I know by me coming forward and explaining that system now that's out there and what people told me and my own experience and everything, I know a lot of people are going to shit on me. Some are not going to talk to me anymore, but I feel it needed to be said. You can't go forward and talk about a women's revolution and because right now everybody's shitting on women's wrestling, and too many women work so hard for us to be respected as athlete, and now it's going back because you're not putting the wrestling in front. It's all about being famous, being at the top girl, whatever. If we all work together and it's good from top to bottom, then the ratings are going to go up. And because there's interest in women's wrestling, you just see. I think it was WWE a few weeks ago. The women's segment kind of went up because they're giving more time to the storylines. It's and I mean they're not perfect either. It's same kind of
Sure.
thing. I haven't been there, so I can't comment. But it's pretty much always the same that are at the top, and there's no or barely, I don't know. I don't want, I haven't been there, so I can't really comment. But as long as there's that mentality that there's this group and then the rest is like whatever, instead of all working together, it's not going to change. It's not going to be better. There was that moment where Shimmer was on top, and then the NXT women, and then I'm thinking about the knockouts also. When Amazing Kong was there, the feud with Gail Kim, like it was really, but now it's like it's going backwards again. Like, no, like whatever. I'm not gonna get a job, but I'm not gonna have my 26 years of wrestling wasted on women that do not deserve to be there, not because they're not good, but because they're terrible human beings and they're narcissists and they only think about them and they do not think about women's wrestling as a whole. So, whatever, hate me, talk shit. I'm ugly, I'm fat, I'm old, I didn't make it, I didn't, whatever. I've heard them all, by the way. So, I don't give a damn, I don't care. That's the thing right now. I don't care anymore. One thing I will always care about, though, is that women wrestlers of today, like the ones that came after me and my generation, I don't want them to go through the same bullshit I had, like the politics, the abuse, the guys grabbing your asses backstage and being screamed puppies and whore and thinking we're there just to for. Me and that women's wrestling suck. Women's wrestling sucks if you allow it to, and by letting your talent that should not be in top or that shouldn't be in charge do what they're doing right now, you're allowing women's wrestling to suck, and that's where I draw the line. So if I don't get booked anymore because of this, whatever. But at least it's out there, and that's what's going on with women's wrestling. You are destroying what women's wrestling should be, and it's going backwards, it's going down. And with the talent that there is on the indies, on on the bigger promotions as well, everywhere around the world, no, this should not be happening.
As we wrap up, without naming names, did anybody from AEW reach out to you after this tweet?
Yes, someone did. Just one. He said, I want you to know that I wish you the very best in everything you set out to do. You're way too talented to not do anything, and you're I can't remember exactly what it, but it was a very nice message saying, like, you know what, you're doing the right thing, keep going. And that was it. But yeah, that's the only one I would even say that even before the message, since I've been there, some people are not talking to me anymore because I don't know why, because they have a job there and I don't know, maybe they're not allowed. Who knows? Who knows at this point? Because QT was like very nice to me and asked me to come by and down. Like he doesn't even talk to me, but he's gonna work with Jacques Rougeau, who's anyway, that's another story for another day. But I mean, you're working with people like that, and you know what, you're I don't know. I think
And
it's as
so
human beings, it's
I'm assuming you never did have a conversation with Tony Khan throughout this process.
never.
And is that something you would still be open to, like even just having a talk with him about the culture that you experienced in general, much less like the potential of coaching or anything like that?
The way it is now, like I don't want to go there as an extra, as a coach, as a wrestler. I don't need this in my life. I don't. On the indies, I'm free to pick my opponents to go where I want. You know, people like ICW, GCW, IWS, Beyond Wrestling, they treat me wonderfully. I got good relationships with them. I work with people that are nice, that want to do good, that has the same, they have the same mission of having the best match possible. Would I talk to Tony? I don't know. I think Tony is such a big wrestling fan. And we've seen it that he's a family man as well, and he's really focused on doing the right thing. But I think he's taking advantage of so bad. I wouldn't want to do that. And I mean, would it change anything? I don't know, but you know what? There's a problem with your backstage. It's on the man's side too. People are making decisions you should be making. You should surround yourself with people that you trust and that want what's best for your company, not them and their friends. Whether it's men or women, that's what you should be looking for. You are so passionate about everything you do when it comes to wrestling. You've been in love with wrestling for forever. You finally have this power within your hand to have to create something big that is an alternative to WWE, that it's different style of wrestling. That's really what I was hoping, and I was really excited about AEW when it opened, because I was like, it was different. They were taking risks. They were taking, still do today, like different kinds of matches. But I just feel like everybody wants to do, or everybody's doing what they do, like all those hardcore matches, even for women, one show, two show hardcore matches, barely no build up, sometimes build up online that people don't see. Like I said, like I think Tony has the best intentions, the best like love for wrestling, but you got people out there that can help you. Again, Jerry Lynn, awesome guy. You got Christian, you know, Mercedes Martinez for the women. There's people out there that can do the job very good that will do it for you, not for them. So that's probably what I would tell him anyway. And yeah.
Man, I know this was something you've held on to for a very, very long time. I appreciate you trusting us to tell us all of this. I mean, I know that the last week has been a pretty wild one in general, and I think that people should know you're still kicking ass in the ring. You're still doing incredible stuff. I've long really, really enjoyed your work, And I know that you are a very humble person when it comes to that type of thing, but you are a trailblazer. You are somebody that is paved the way for an awful lot of people. And not only that, you're still doing it. For those that might like you know, not be that familiar with the indie scene, go watch her stuff that she's done with Layla Hirsch. Go watch any right in Beyond Wrestling and Lufisto, and you're going to see something really, really great. Go look at the GCW match just from a couple weeks ago with Yutami. Like, there are so many great things that you have done in the ring and are still doing in the ring, and I just want to say thank you for that. Thank you for sacrificing your body, your time, your emotion, all that stuff. And let the people know where they can support you, where they can follow you, where they can keep up with you, where they can see your wild-ass tweets that you post here and there.
There's not too many of those, but when I get to that point, like, I just, like, whatever, at this point, I don't care anymore. Lufisto.com is really where you could get everything. Like, all my links are there. You can join, like, Twitter. My emails are always open, lufisto@outmail.com. If you have any comments, any more questions, because I know, like this is kind of wild and out there, and, like, there's so many things, and I try to keep it short, because I try to keep these as short as I could, but it's already so long. But I'm always open to criticism. I'm always open to comments. Whether you like my matches or not, I read everything, because that's the way I could get better. I'm not going to, unless you tell me something absolutely stupid or not true, I'm not going to scream at you or whatever. I will probably have a discussion. Please send me, like I said, emails. A good women's division, a good wrestler will take critiques, work with them, and make them better. Some of them are really frustrating sometimes, I do admit, but you got to take a step back and...
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, like, work with that. If you tell me I'm fat and ugly, it's like, hey, whatever. Like, it's not a constructive criticism to me. So I might, like, last week it was a guy's like, oh, I don't know who you are, blah, blah, blah. So I just print screen his Twitter with 1,000 people and mine with 47,000. It was stupid, but it was like, hey, stupid answer to a stupid question, stupid comment. But yeah, reach out. I'm always there. I'm always available to help people. I've been thinking about, I am not going to be an agent, but I was thinking about, like, doing stuff where I watch matches and we watch it together, mm-hmm. and we work together, and cause I just love it. So I got a microphone and I got a good camera to do this.
You do.
But I'll figure out, like, what I want to do, after what's going to happen now. I want to live day by day. And since I lost my grandma, it's, she was a very strong woman. And she always told me, like, even if technically it's the right thing to do, if it's wrong, stand up and speak up against it, even if it costs you. So I take her advice, and a lot of people are gonna talk shit about me, but this can't go on for women's wrestling. It can't. So,
well, I appreciate you so much for taking the time for trusting us to talk about this. I just appreciate it in general. Lufisto, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for allowing me.
Until next time, guys, we're out. There is no product that we have promoted more on Fightful that I use while I'm awake. The NordVPN.com/Fightful. You guys have probably seen me anchored to my desk an awful lot for quite a while, and I've always got NordVPN on all my devices. That's because that's what NordVPN.com/Fightful allows. You get the fastest VPN in the world on all your devices, on all your operating systems. It is so beneficial to have that versatility. Here at home, I put it on my router just in case, and I put it on my phone, laptop, desktop, PC, and smart TV. That allows you to get all the benefits. The online threat protection, the ability to change your virtual location with just one click, the ability to use that NordPass password manager, the file encryption tool, all that good stuff on everything. Also, you can subscribe to all those overseas services I'm telling you all about, all with 24/7 tech support and a 30-day money-back guarantee on top of an already amazing deal. Protect yourself on all your devices with NordVPN.com/Fightful.